I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Before I get to the message here, I want to cover one side note here. How many believe we're still in a war? How many believe that? According to Ephesians chapter 6, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. How many is that still a reality today? The enemy doesn't take a break. He doesn't care if you're young or old. He doesn't care if you're feeling well or things are fine. But when it comes to these areas, we've probably all seen that the armor. We've seen the little kid one with the plate and the helmet and the little sword. Those are all types. How many knows it's living for him is what the armor is? When we put on the armor, it's the girding with truth. We have the righteousness, a right relationship as a breastplate. We have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Not only that, we have the shield of what?
Faith.
Notice faith becomes the shield. We have a helmet of salvation, protects the vital organs. How many of those being saved will make your mind straight? How many understand that? And then we have a sword of what? The Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's like we're not just helpless people in this battle. We've been equipped. And when we live for the Lord, we walk by faith, we're saved, righteousness is the breastplate, you can stand and fight. And when you've done all the stand therefore. The Lord spoke a word in the first service. Sometimes when it seems the darkest, when all the odds are against you, stand. God will come through. I said God will come through. And we have the sword of the Spirit. Why? To chop down enemy schemes. To cut through the lies. We need to operate with that. Say amen? We may not have such a place of famine with food and water. I know there's still people hungry. But we have a famine for the Word of God in America. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to speaking those things. Amen? We've heard more about COVID than we have Jesus. It needs to change. Amen? Like I shared last week, if COVID is 19, Jesus is 20. Praise God. How many knows we win? I said we win. When it comes to Christmas, my message title is The Uniqueness of Christmas. And in Matthew chapter 1, hopefully you found it. If you need a Bible, there's one in front of you. If you do use your phone, don't look up your emails. Check on the weather. Focus on the message. Say amen. I don't mind you using them, but just have a lot of self-control. How many agree? How many is it's not hard to go swipe left, swipe right, and you're off in la-la land. And if you fall asleep during the service, I may stand next to you and preach. Amen? Hopefully it's good enough to keep you awake. In Matthew 1, I'm going to start with verse 23. When it comes to Christmas, there's a unique announcement. In Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. When it comes to Christmas, there's a unique announcement. Like no other announcement in the world, Christ is born. I shared with the first service that I've already started celebrating Christmas. I'm not waiting till the 25th. I don't want it to end in one day and be over. I like the lights that are out. I like the nativity scenes that are there. And I also like some of the Christmas music. Now, I had to say, I had to chuckle. I had the radio on, and I heard this song about, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Okay, I actually listened to all of it because it was kind of different, all right? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about keeping Christ in Christmas. Are you with me? But it's a unique announcement. Can you imagine this? God with us, Emmanuel. He took on flesh and he bore our sins. When I look at that, think of all the announcements that happened. All the births that ever could be. All the kings that have been on the earth and they announced, I have a newborn son or daughter. This is the greatest announcement ever. Yeah. Secondly here, it's a unique moment. Christmas is a unique moment. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn in swaddling clothes, lied in a manger, for there was no room in the inn. Think about that unique moment. In Luke 2, verse 11, "For unto you born this day in the city of David, in the city of bread, Christ the Lord." When I think of this announcement here, it's a wonderful thing. Now, I remember when they were told, the shepherds, I'll get to this more later, that when they were told, they said, "We must see this thing." I mean, that's pretty awesome. What if you're at work and all of a sudden an angelic host appears to you? I mean, I think that would startle you a little bit. We still have flesh. What if it's in the middle of the night, all of a sudden an angelic host appeared in your room and said, "You know what? In the city of David is Christ the Savior." How many be like, "Man, this is overwhelming, but I got to go see this." See, it's more than just hearing it. It's stepping out. Because the truth is this, just because somebody sees something doesn't mean they're going to respond to it. You got to go see it for yourself. And here's a greater step: when you can believe it by faith. I have to believe when the angels appear to these shepherds, they've been out in the field a whole lot. They've kept watch at night. They've seen bears. They've seen lions. They've seen all the stuff that could happen and attack the sheep. But nothing like this. Here are an angelic host saying, "You got to go to the city of David and see the Christ child." And they said, "We must go." I like that. Sometimes you need to go. Hallelujah. And find the King of Kings. Say amen. When I look at this, it's a unique mission. Christmas is like a unique mission. In Matthew 1 verse 21, "You shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Notice what his mission is: to save us from our sins. No other religious ruler, no other religious leader can make this claim, that he died for our sins. Hallelujah. Everyone else is still in the grave. I want you to know that he's the only one that rose from the dead. And since he rose from the dead, he's the first fruits. We will follow. We still have this flesh which is subject to decay, but the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and one day that'll be done away with. Hallelujah. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons." I'm glad Jesus came at the exact moment the Father wanted. Say amen. Amen. And you know what? It's changed the course of history. And think about it. Several thousand years later, God is still changing lives. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ now dwells in us. Isn't that unbelievably powerful? And the gospel has lasted several thousand years of weak preaching, and it's still here. That's a test to the power of Almighty God. Power to the Word of God. Jesus suffered for our sins. Hallelujah! That we can become the righteous of God. And not only are we adopted, we don't have the name adoption anymore. We're now sons and daughters of the Most High. We've been so grafted into the vine, there's no difference between you and what a Jewish person is in Christ. Say amen. I know we're born of Gentiles, most of us here, but now that wild olive branch has been grafted in, that every promise of Abraham is now yours in Christ Jesus. That's good news. I said, that's good news. The covenant of promises which we were estranged from, now they've drawn near. In Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this: "Having redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." That now I am forgiven of all my sins. I couldn't name them all, but He forgave me of them all. Say amen. That's what's so neat about God. He says, "Come to me the way you are." And He's such a servant. I shared with the first service, do you know Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us? He is such a servant. Even though He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is still a servant in character. Isn't that awesome? Since He's that way, that's the way we ought to be. We have an opportunity to serve mankind while we're here, to serve one another. We need to take advantage of that and exercise that. That's good preaching. And if you think about it, when we get to heaven, He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means forever he will serve. Oh man, I'm indebted to him. I mean, he'll take that crown and cast it at his feet. And you don't have to worry if there's a whole pile of them if you'll get yours back. Say amen. All that selfishness stuff is done away with. And even if you didn't get it back, good, somebody gets to wear it then. I know that sometimes we're so hung up on so many things. God paves the streets like transparent gold. Amen? Here's how it is. I don't want your brick and mortar in my building. I'm going to make it every precious stone. I'll make the gates of like one pearl. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine the glory of God shining through and every precious stone is glistening? And stuff that we haven't seen in the fullness. Say amen. He closed heaven with that and sprinkled some of the rest on earth. We make gold so valuable now, he's going to say, that'll be under your feet. That's the least I'll put under your feet. That's the least I'm going to put under your feet, what is so precious to everybody else now. Hallelujah. How many of those heaven's going to be beautiful. There will be flowers there. There will be mountains there. Earth is a type of the like the original, and this is the type of the original. It's pretty beautiful if you get outside Metro Detroit. Say amen. You travel anywhere, there's some great places in the country. Say amen. You got to move a little bit sometimes. I'm not saying move away, but sometimes you got to look outside of what's here. Hallelujah. It also, Christmas is a unique opportunity. In Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, it talks about it being an opportunity to share. That the shepherds, they were giving glory to God. It was a wonderful thing. But it's also an opportunity for us to look and have some time to reflect. A time to worship. I shared with the first service, I want you to get undignified as these next few days approach. Sing unto your God. Now, I'm not a beautiful singer. I make a joyful noise. How many make a joyful noise? I mean, there's some great singers, but I make a joyful noise. But you know what? He still receives that. I remember one time, it's amazing this can happen. There are other believers that go to grocery shopping. Do you believe that? There are other Christians on this planet. It's amazing. I remember being in the checkout line, and I can't sing a lick. I'm a terrible singer. I've asked the Lord, Lord, touch me. I know I could sing like an angel. You could touch me, Lord. And we've had this conversation. You know what he said to me? My grace is sufficient for you. It's like, nope, you got what you got. And I accept it. I'm not freaked out about it. But I remember being in the grocery store, and I wasn't singing loud. I was singing just a hymn unto God. And all of a sudden, the lady in the next aisle, she heard me. She started singing, and she could sing. And I looked at her, and I go, oh, I'd sing that. That's good. How many of us have changed the environment of the checkout line? Now, if they're going to kick you out anyways, you're almost ready to go. You're checking out, so. But how many of us said somebody else heard? Sometimes you just got to be a spark, and God will provide all the fuel you ever need. But be that spark. Look to finish this year strong. I'm saying look to finish this year strong. We don't have to succumb to all the goofiness. And bless God, you don't have to walk in fear. That's good preaching today. Amen. Secondly, Christmas is a time to ponder. In Luke 2 verse 19, when Mary heard the testimony that she's going to bear the Christ, she pondered all those things in her heart. She thought deeply about it. We also need to think a little deeper about Christmas. It's not Barbie and Ken. It's not the gifts we give. It's about what he's done for us. That he took on flesh. And he bore our sins. But now he's alive forevermore. Now, we're not here to worship Mary, but I have to say, she had to be a pretty awesome lady. Wouldn't you agree? Of all the women that could ever be born, she had to be pretty awesome. I look forward to meeting Mary, just like I look forward to meeting Eve. The Bible says that when she brought forth her firstborn, she said she received it of the Lord, how to give childbirth, because nobody told her. Say amen. I mean, that was an experience. But the truth is that the people who make it to heaven are the greatest people on the planet. Because they've accepted the Christ. Not their accolades. I don't know how many home runs they did, how many basketballs they made, how many songs they sung, because they accepted Christ. Those are the real heroes. The Bible says the grave won't remember those who perish. And truthfully, in a few years, all the records really mean very little. But those who live for Christ, when you look at Christmas, have a time to ponder. Before all the people show up or you go somewhere, have that time. When I look at Christmas, Christmas is a time to marvel. I said, time to marvel. As it says in Luke 2 verse 18, when the shepherds heard, they wondered at those things that were told to them. But then they took the ultimate thing. They took a step of faith and went to go see. See, if seeing a miracle kept you in the kingdom, nobody would have backslid when they came out of Egypt. But just seeing a miracle doesn't keep you in the kingdom. You got to follow by faith. Because the miracle they saw, the Red Sea parted. I mean, that's pretty awesome. What if Lake Michigan parted when you walked up to it? How many of you are like, dude? Yes or no? And then all of a sudden the whole army's coming behind you and you just turn around and the water goes, whoop! Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Would that be enough to keep you in the kingdom? Nope! How about this? A pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day, every day. Would that keep you? Nope. How about the water starts to run thin? Strike the rock, water flows. The rock that followed them was Christ. Would that keep you? Nope. How about the manna? Every day he rained it down, and on the weekends he doubled it up so you didn't have to gather. Nope. How about your clothes not wearing out, your shoes not wearing out? Nope. Notice all these tangible miracles, yet it wasn't enough. You have to walk by faith. You have to walk by faith. It came down to leadership. God says, go take the land, I'll be with you. Like I did to the Egyptians, I'll do to all those who stand before you. Only two said we can make it. Joshua and Caleb. And what I appreciate about the Lord is this. Anyone who stands and says, God, I'm going to live all out for you, God will make sure you see the promised land. The Bible says, even when they were old, Joshua said, I can still bend a bronze rope. Also, Caleb said, I'm still a young man in strength. I mean, that's pretty good. And what I appreciate about Caleb, you know what he did when he finally got a chance to enter? He goes, give me the mountain where the giants are. I'm going to take it on. Listen to me, even as you get older, you can still slay some giants. Say amen. Amen. There's no retirement in the kingdom. In this church, I don't care how old you are, you're still useful in the kingdom. There's no retirement when you get there. You're not going to just float on some harp, play some harp there. Oh, there it goes. Hey. No, you're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And what I like about it is that we're all going to have strength either. There isn't going to be this infirmary wing when we get there. Can somebody say amen? Amen? And when I do a message for funerals, there's no handicapped parking spots. There's no pharmacies. There's none of that. Hallelujah. You may be of great age, but hallelujah, you'll have the strength of a young man or woman. Amen? Just sometimes I wish that we had the wisdom we have when we're older with the strength we have when we were younger. I wonder how many bonehead decisions we would have changed. Everybody says amen. When I look at Christmas, it's a time to praise. We need to get our praise on. After the shepherds went out in Luke 2 verse 20, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they seen and heard. And they told everyone. Come on. We have something to tell about. When you spend time with Him, you can't keep it a secret. Jesus is the best kept secret. Spend time with Him. You'll come away praising. You'll come away God showing you and revealing Himself to you. And you won't be able to keep it to yourself. Say amen. It's time to get your praise on. Amen. Now Marco, this gentleman over here, is our neighbor. And every now and then, he'll tell me, hey, heard your service today. Now he comes here and worships with us. But I mean, it's nice that even in the neighborhood can hear the praise. I said, even the neighbors need to hear your praise. You look undignified, that's okay. David said, you think I'm undignified now? Just wait. Hallelujah. Come on, you're in the store, change the environment. Maybe you're in an elevator. You don't have to be obnoxious, but just sing unto your King. Lord, I thank you. You're a mighty God. Somebody else will chime in, and the enemy will do this. He will hate your guts. But either way, there's a response. Glory to God. Don't worry about what somebody thinks, somebody says. When I look at Jesus, if you look at his life, if you'll read between many times, it says that they wanted to throw him off a cliff after he preached. Do you know when he raised Lazarus from the dead? They plotted to kill Lazarus and Jesus, lest it get out and more believe. Jesus' whole life was at stake, but he said this, they can't touch me because it's not my time. I mean, that's pretty awesome. The enemy can't touch you because it's not the time. Hallelujah. When they plotted against Jesus, he just walked out from among them. I want that faith. Notice he wasn't freaking out, hiding in a corner. Say amen. Amen. And finally, he said this. When he was going to the cross, Jesus spoke this. It's now the hour of darkness. And they will do what they will. It was allowed for Jesus to be afflicted. And Jesus said this. Can I now not call down legions of angels and take me off here and wipe everyone out? But this is why I came. He came for the reason. His whole mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't want us to lose that during this goofy time that we all look like bandits. Say amen. Remember a few years ago, if you walked into a bank with what you have on, what would they have said? They would have arrested you. You go to an airport with that on, they would have arrested you. That's just a true fact. Say amen. But let's not lose the message. Let's not lose the message in the midst. Is everybody with me with this? Because it's time to tell. I said it's time to tell. It's time to tell people that he's alive. Hallelujah. It says in Luke 2:17, it's time to proclaim. Listen, if you're with your family, if you're able to have that, or if not, call him. Do something. Say, he's alive. Hallelujah. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know what? Your testimony is powerful. No one has it but you. All of you can testify here that God has forgiven you how many sins? Say all your sins. Now, in the natural, you know what? We all bear our own scars. Would you agree? I don't need people to bring up my past. I know what it is. Say amen. And if a believer brings up your past, let me say something to you. They're not operating in the Holy Ghost. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's an accuser of the brethren. But when you get your past under the blood, guess what? Jesus said, I've forgiven you. And if we're trying to remind him of something he forgot, he's not going to remember. I mean, it was as far as the east is from the west. That's how far I've removed your transgression from you. And what I forgive, I forget. I mean, that's a great thing. As much as he can remember, he desires to forget those things. That now, here's what the religious folks don't like. That now you can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That he can look at you and the blood's been applied. Hallelujah. Just as you've never sinned. Not that you haven't, but now you haven't. Because he's forgiven you. That's good news. I like that when God says he forgives you of all. How much is in all? Thank God for that. Even the things I forgot. Amen? The conversations that I overbooked, the things that spewed out of my mouth, I've been forgiven. Now, if you look at your life, you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 100, I don't care how old you are. Can you imagine how many libraries we've spoken out of our mouth? How many words we've already collectively spoke? And yet all those handwriting of ordinances have been blotted out. I love that. I've been forgiven of so much. Say amen. And I've learned he who's been forgiven of much loves much. We start to pull the telephone pole out. It's easy to see a speck in your brother's eye. I mean, that's good news. Is this making sense to y'all here? When it comes to Christmas, it's time to find him again. It doesn't mean he's lost, but you've got to go seek after. In Luke 2, verse 16, they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph. The shepherds came, the wise men came, but they moved their proximity. It's not the Lord is far from any one of us, but I found this. I find the Lord when I seek him. Seek and you'll what? How many knows that revelation is there? We still need to seek him in the morning. Come on. It's not that he's lost, but we need to find him. I need to find him at work. I need to find him when I'm having a struggle. I need to find him when I'm having a battle in my mind. How many of you have ever had a battle in your mind before? How many ever had some depression try to creep in? Let me see your hand. I mean, that's reality. It doesn't make you any less of a believer. It just shows me that we have this gift, this spirit, in an earthly casing. That, Lord, let me have my mind changed. Let me renew my mind in your word. How many of us, I need to have a word-ruled mind. I've worked many secular jobs as a pastor. There were some churches that couldn't afford to pay. And I remember this. I was working for this company, and these guys did not know God. The conversations were unbelievably over here. But there were a few times they would actually speak a spiritual term that came from the enemy. That they'd use terms like, oh, you're one of those born-again Christians. And they don't even know what really that meant. I had this one gentleman, knew nothing about God, said, I wish I'd have met you before you got all this glory. He didn't know what glory was. But the enemy was using him as a mouthpiece. Say amen. Listen, don't get your revelation from the enemy. Satan tried to tell Jesus the word of God. And he also tried to instruct him, why don't you just go up the top of the building, just go up there in the peak and jump off. God never told him to do that. Don't get your instruction from him. Amen? Say amen. It's get behind me. It is written. That's the best I can do to the enemy. He never bows to dirty, rotten devil. He bows to the name of Jesus. You may be calling out his character, but that authority is in Christ. Is everybody cool with all that? But I remember looking at this gentleman, I said, no, you don't. Because without Christ, I am nothing. I got a chance to witness to this person. The glory that I received from the King of Kings, and so can you. Hallelujah. No one is outside. If they still have some breath in this body, they still have some hope. Now, let me make this clear on blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit means this. You've rejected the Holy Spirit unto death. You've never allowed the Holy Spirit to work in your life. So you've blasphemed all the work that God's ever done or could do in your life. How many understand that? That's more than just cursing his name. Say amen. And dare I say, we probably rejected Jesus at least once in our life. But God still changed you, didn't he? But the Bible says this, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? You breathe your last without him, you have blasphemed. There is no forgiveness for that. Depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll have a lifetime of memories of all the times God came to you. When you can think, and you will be in a soul state too, you will have a mind and emotions. You will feel the pain. You will not burn up in it. I remember one time I had a friend that he was slipping into hell. And God spared him at that moment. He cried out and God gave him life back. And he shared this testimony with me. He goes, I felt myself slipping into hell. I could feel the pain. I could feel the flames. I could hear the screams and the cries. And he said this, the best way I could describe it was people engulfed in flames. They would try to burn up, but every time they came up, they breathed in fresh flame, and it never consumed them. When he got back in his body, he repented and changed his life. My sister is a prime example. We were praying for my sister for many years. She had a dream. She woke up in hell, burning. That morning, she got out of bed, she knelt at her bed, and received Christ and lived for God ever since. How many think it's real? The spiritual dimension is real. Who's the only one that ever gets blasphemed? No one ever says, oh, Buddha. No one ever says, oh, Muhammad. It's, oh, Jesus Christ. He's always the one that's blasphemed. What's the only name you can't pray in? There's a spiritual side that even shows, even the demonic side shows that he is real. We have to recognize that, but I'm not here to get my revelation from the devil. I'm here to get it from the King. Are you enjoying this morning? I just got a little bit more to go. I'm fired up. Feeling a little sassy this morning. But God is good. When it comes to receiving from him, God says, I'll be with you even unto the end. But I want to make this couple notes here. As long as I've been in the flesh, there's been some suffering too. There's been some loss. There's been some pain. There's been some family members that have passed on. But we have to look at that. Though we suffer, God will still bear with us. I charge you as the church here. Many times when it comes to a holiday season, you're reminded of a lost loved one. How many of us, we need to comfort those. Sometimes to help people through that little time there, that joy can return in the morning. Maybe you held the hand of somebody or you've been a caretaker. That's a lot of work. It's a lot to see people suffer. I don't like it. I really don't. My prayer is that we live a long life. When God's done with us, we breathe our last in glory. It's hard to see people suffer. But I've seen good things happen to good people, and I've also seen bad things happen to good people. But in this, we have to continue. Amen? When it comes to uncertainty, that God came, but he'll lead us through it. The other day, the Lord gave me a word, and maybe this is for some of you here, that even in the darkest hour, when things seem like there's no hope in it, stand, God will still come through for you. That may be for somebody in here. How many knows he's still able? It's like when I look at those verses, if I'm living right for God, that means the armor is on. Then I've done all to stand. I'm going to stand, therefore, and see the salvation of my God. I found out that he's rarely ever early. He's never late, but he's always on time. So, Lord, let me move my time to your time. Sometimes our clock is immediate. I want it yesterday. Is there anybody like me? I want it yesterday. I'm the one, if I'm in line to a grocery store, don't get behind me. Because there's going to be something happen in my line. My wife was with me and I said, you know what? I went to the store and believe me, there was 10 people over here. Two people in this line. So logically, what line should I get in? The two, correct? I got in the two. All 10 were served before I was even in there. I'll price check here. I thought they had that was gone away with. Nope, it wasn't marked on the thing. Then they couldn't find it on the shelf. And I'm sitting there going, oh Lord Jesus, you are awesome. Amen? Then my wife would say, what took so long? I picked the wrong line. Why didn't I just go, the 10 are going to go a whole lot faster. Is anybody like me? Okay. I also have the the parking lot challenge that I'm waiting for it. My turn signal is on. The car is pulling out and somebody whips in that spot. Thank you, Jesus. How many of us, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Praise the Lord. That is awesome. I'm standing right here. I'm waiting for it. Lord, I'm just know that you're dumping patience on me. Anybody here? Amen? I mean, those, sometimes those may be some minor things. But what do we really get hung up on? I mean, sometimes we can make little things become big things. Yes or no? Lord, let me focus in on what's important. I want to have come out of my mouth, I'm glad you got that spot. There's another one somewhere else. Maybe I'll get a chance to hold the door for you. I'll hold the door for you. Amen. You all know I'm kidding. Amen. God's good. But the truth is that we all need Jesus. In uncertainty, God will lead us through. My prayer is this, that when I read in Scripture, remember when they came to the water in the Old Testament and they came and it was bitter? It's the water of Marah. And it was bitter and they complained to Moses. And God said, you know what? Take the tree there and throw it in, that water becomes sweet. Throw the tree in the water and it becomes sweet. That seems like an impossibility, but God's there. But soon after that, they came to a place where there were many wells and there was shade. There were palm trees. My prayer is this, is that we come out of this year to a time of refreshing and relaxation. Can anybody agree with me there? There's been enough turmoil. How many need some wells to drink from? A little bit of shade to sit under. Things to level off. I like to see the whole body be able to come back together. And I understand there's certain challenges and certain needs. But I want to see the whole body come back together. Can God still do that? That's what I'm praying for this coming year, that there's a time of refreshing. And last, as I close here, even though we're in this body, we don't war against flesh and blood, we still have to deal with some death too. Maybe you've lost somebody or know somebody that, but we can't be overcome by it. We have to overcome those things that realize that this body is temporal and God's looking to give us an eternal one. When we finally shed this one, that He'll give us a building. Some of you are campers, have been camping. Every tent that I've ever seen that gotten old, sooner or later gets a hole in it. If you've ever put away a tent wet, what happens to it within a few weeks? It molds, doesn't it? Then you work overtime in cleaning it out. The truth is that this body is like a tent. Some of us have a couple patches on it already. Say amen. But one day God will give us a building, that this is only earthy. It's only designed for here. But your spirit is eternal. And one day He will give you a body that will work with your spirit. Hallelujah. And the mind totally renewed. All the fleshy things burned on out. That the only thing that remained is Christ Jesus. I mean, that'll be pretty awesome. I kind of hope that we have the same abilities Jesus did. Now, I'm not sure yet, but the Bible says the doors were locked and He came in the room. How did He get there? Did He pick the lock? How about this? They were all at the seashore, 500 at once, and He slowly ascended up from them. That's pretty cool, wouldn't you say? Yet He could still eat some food without calories. Say amen. No more fat in heaven, hallelujah. Can I preach that or no? Amen? I got my own substance going on here, but listen, God is good. The best is yet to come. Then while we're here, let's occupy. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's let what the Holy Ghost in us out of our life. Let's change the environment where we go. Hallelujah. And you know what? God will be glorified. And let's believe that God will work in Michigan again. We need a revival in this state. I said we need a revival in this state. Sweep over our families. Change in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare today You are good. You are a good God. Lord, we speak revival to this land. Lord, sweep over our families. Lord, we declare, Lord, this Christmas time to have a celebration. To call on You, Almighty God. Lord, we ask You, Lord God, as we approach this new year, a year of refreshing. Lord God, fresh wells to drink from. Lord God, as it were, fresh shade to be under. Lord, under Your guidance and protection. And Lord, we come against the virus in the land. Lord, You're able to dry it and move it out in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we partner together as a church. Lord, believe in God. And Lord, as we travel, Lord, help us to see the environment change because Your Holy Spirit is in us, working through us. Lord, it's a unique, Lord God, time, a unique Christmas. We thank You, Lord God. Now, if You would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need according to Your riches and glory. Lord, You bless them coming in and I bless them going out. Lord, for their families, Lord God, a touch upon. Lord, not one sick among us in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare your goodness, Lord, in the land of the living. Lord, seal the word in our hearts as we stand in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for coming this morning. Next week, we have some special music here. We'll have some Christmas carols that we're going to sing that glorify God. Bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.